97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's a Tuesday morning. Beautiful start to your day out there. Glad you're back here with us. Of course, I'm in here with Kim St. Ange, and Drew is in this morning for Ethan. He'll be back tomorrow. Sue Thomas with all of your traffic. Great to have you along. We are, of course, rapidly anticipating the departure of one Kim St. Ange, and nobody is anticipating that more rapidly than Kim St. Ange. And would I be correct about that?
Yeah, you might be. Yeah.
Is that even possible that nobody wants this baby to get here sooner than you do?
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm very uncomfortable. It's been a very hot summer, and I'm almost 40 weeks pregnant. But at the same time, there's a million things that my husband and I still need to do. So I'm almost like, okay, you could stay in there for maybe another week.
Oh,
then we're ready to go.
Okay, so you're evicting the baby in another week.
Yeah, that's when the notice goes out.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see how that works. So then normally I would say there are four of us in the room, counting the baby.
It's true.
This morning we have a fifth person in the room who's going to be helping us out in your absence, whenever that happens, because you're hoping it happens early, but it'll at least happen on the 22nd. Is that correct? Is that our date?
The due date is the 28th.
Yes.
I could go over my due date. I don't think that's going to happen, but I guess it could.
All right. Well, I don't know if we've got him pulled up on camera here or not.
There we go.
But,
now I do.
The one and only Dan Buck, a longtime friend of mine, former coworker at Channel 4 years ago. And, of course, he worked at Show Me over at Channel 5 for a while and has been all over the media for years and involved in kids' sports and all kinds of stuff. Pop-up bars, you name it. This guy's done it. Dan has agreed to fill in for Kim for at least part of her maternity leave. And we're thrilled to have you in here, my friend.
Today I'm a newsman in training. She's a great trainer.
Can you believe that me. I'm the one who's training you on how to do this? Who would have thought that would be the case?
No, you're good. And I love this show. You guys know how much I listen and enjoy everything about it. When you called me and said, hey, what do you think about filling in during her maternity leave? I'm like, oh, yeah, sign me up.
That's
too
good.
Much fun. I mean, you and I mean, we were kindred spirits when I was at Channel 4 briefly, about a year and a half. And
yeah.
I moved over to Channel 5 to launch Show Me St. Louis. Was there almost 10 years. I did talk radio at KTRS. But I always thought, God, sometime Mark and I, being of like mind, like spirit, need to get together and have some fun. So we're going to have like 10, 12 weeks. How long are you going to stay out? I was wondering about that.
Well, I guess it'll end up being...
Are you going to max it out?
Absolutely, I'll max it out. So the 22nd is for sure my last day here. Whether I have the baby or not, I'm tapping out.
You're quitting. Okay, all right.
Yeah. So for sure that will be my last day, and then we'll be on baby watch. But so it'll end up being about 13 weeks or so that I'll be gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long time. And Dan, you'll be in at least, what, 3 days a week with us?
Yeah, probably okay. 3 days. Yeah. I still have a day job. I do some development real estate work. We've got a big project at Osage Beach and another one at St. Robert, and sometimes I'm called away on those. So I told him I could commit to 3 days a week minimum. Some weeks I might be able to give you four.
By the way, one of our listeners, awesome. Lisa, says that she met you playing pickleball a while back and that you'll be a fun addition.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. In fact, my doubles partner tonight on pickleball is Lisa. I wonder if it's her.
Oh, maybe.
Lisa.
All right.
Lisa May?
No, not Lisa May.
No? Okay. She's on Facebook, so that's why I said her
awesome.
Name.
Yeah, and I love pickleball. We'll definitely be talking about pickleball.
Where do you play out there? Is it Newtown and Pickle?
I do play Mondays Chicken and Pickle. I've got two leagues I'm in at Newtown Pickleball Club, which is a great group. We have 12 courts there. Actually, I think 16 courts now. They just added four more. So,
Mark, don't you have strong thoughts on pickleball?
I've played pickleball.
Let's get this relationship started off. Let's heat things up. Mark, what are your thoughts on pickleball?
Played pickleball, right? But my comment on pickleball was that my wife had to go get the PR. Is it PRP shot that includes stem cells in her knees because she ran so many marathons?
Oh, sure.
And I asked the doctor, I'm like, wait a minute, you're an orthopedic surgeon. Aren't you losing money if you can repair somebody without having to have them undergo surgery? And he said, don't worry, pickleball has saved the industry.
So are you saying it's an old person's sport?
He's like,
is that what you're
saying?
These
people are coming out of retirement thinking, I can't play tennis anymore, but pickleball will be easier on me. And they're ripping tendons left and right and tearing up meniscus and everything else. So,
It is true. I mean, I still play baseball and hardball, so I stay in pretty good shape doing that. And the transition to pickleball wasn't too bad. But right. I can tell you, there's people trying to do things athletically that they should not be doing. Right? Going back on balls, I've seen more people people wipe out backing up on balls and they lose their footing, smash their head. Ooh. I mean, it's bad. But I could see where orthopedic surgeons
love this.
They love pickleball. They do. I've played a few times. My wife and I took a couple of lessons. Same rules apply for me. You have to stay out of the kitchen,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, I don't.
Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah,
they do call it the kitchen.
Absolutely.
That's about the only thing I know. I'm not good at pickleball. I don't really get it. The scoring, it irritates me.
The scoring is the hardest part. Yeah. No question, the hardest part.
I played in a tournament for Folds of Honor. They were for the Junior Board of Folds of Honor was raising money, and I agreed to play in it. Even though I probably only played the game five or six times in my life, and we were 0-for. Like, we got beat by
like
all
drum.
11 teams. Like, we came in dead last at that tournament. But it was fun. We had a good time, worked up a little bit of a sweat, and got our rear
end handed
to us.
We'll have to go out. I can teach. I mean, a little bit. I know enough about the game to help people understand the rules and what it, and once you start playing, though, and you get decent at it,
yeah,
it's crazy competitive. It's so much
fun. Oh, I know.
Fun. Yeah. And you're always trying to build your game and get better, and you go out there and get schooled by a 78-year-old dude. You're like, okay, I got to
humble you a little bit.
I am not quite where I need to be, but it's a finesse game, but it can be a power game. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I know it probably satisfies your competitive spirit because you've been a baseball player for years.
Yeah, and still play on two hardball teams, too.
Wow.
So every night of the week, I'm usually going somewhere to either play pickleball or go play hardball. So,
nice.
Yeah. Those
nice.
4 a.m. wake-up calls will come very early.
I tell you what, I got up late today because I didn't have to be here to train till 6. I'm like, God, how does he do this every morning? And then it's a 4-hour show. I've never done a 4-hour show in anything, not TV, not in broadcast. The longest I was probably ever on would be a ball game. You know, the play-by-play I did for years was a 2.5-hour gig. You know, your games only last 2.5, maybe 3 if it's extra innings or something. But, man, this is a grind.
Dan, pray for my good health, because if you're filling in for her and I get sick, pal, guess what? We're sliding you over here. I just got
to
tell
you
that.
They did it to me. They'll do it to you, Dan. No, I enjoy filling in, and I'm very thankful that you're filling in. And I mean, you and I met years ago when I was working at Channel 4, and I know you're sitting right here, so it sounds like I'm just saying this, but I genuinely can't think of a better person to fill in. Like, it's a good fit.
I'm going to reveal a little secret too. I was your biggest admirer because of what you did at Channel 4 to challenge their. And I don't even know if you talk about it publicly or not.
No, I do.
But
don't
worry. Yeah, okay. I was like, well, maybe I'm revealing something.
No, you're not.
But she was out covering the Powerplex when we were fighting Sam Page to try to stay open and doing everything in our power to keep our people employed and keep kids playing and to keep the sports world going for youth in St. Louis. And she came out to do the story, the only reporter who was fair. Everybody else, of course, was attacking us for trying to stay open and challenging. And we were the only ones actually tracking health numbers of kids in sports. We had every club, every organization reporting through a database. We had tens of thousands, actually about 38,000 kids we were tracking. And how many of them got COVID, how many of them got hospitalized, how many of them died. Of course, that number was zero. And the hospitalizations were so minimal. And those were kids with complications had other challenges. And so we had the only database in St. Louis, and she came out and actually reported our numbers. She actually was fair to us, and I thanked her for being so fair. And
yeah,
she says, well, thank you for challenging the government that is absolutely doing this. And I said, well, we're not even making our employees vax. I said, you know, that's a personal choice. I'm not going to tell my employees whether they take a shot or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, not me. I'm being threatened by my job for not taking the vax. And of course, Kim, I just think so many people admire you for holding your ground and not doing that. And I know that baby inside you is very grateful that you did not take a vax,
thank you.
We still are seeing the ramifications and who knows what the negative effects long term is going to be on people who did take it. So
yeah,
thank you. And I admired you for that. So
it's a good point. That. All right. Well, Dan's going to hang out with us the rest of this hour. I've gone a little bit long here, so I think I'm going to do the short list to Drew when we come back here. In next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Francis Howe superintendent situation where the guy got paid without a single day's work. How did that happen? We're going to talk about it when we come back. All right, welcome back. A little long in that last segment. I want to go ahead and hold on just a minute here. Let me go ahead and get to our Let me go ahead and get to our top stories as soon as I can get my computer turned down. Can I just tell you how irritated I am when websites autoplay things
you
when you're
Channel
trying
4?
To look at something?
They do that all the time.
So does KSDK.
Every single time I go to the website, I want to claw my eyeballs out. It's so irritating.
It's just one of my biggest pet peeves, particularly when you're on the radio and sometimes your computer is left up, which is not Drew's fault. It's my fault. I should have known that. And then that happened. So I apologize for that. But let's get to our top stories, Drew. How about that?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He's out of control, and it's shocking that Fox News allows him to continue this way over a sitting member of Congress.
Woo! Marjorie Taylor Greene is mad. You know who she's mad at? She's mad at Mark Levin, the doctor, as Sean Hannity calls him. These two are clashing over support for Israel and what Israel is doing in Gaza.
Every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it.
Yeah, it's true. The President Trump is starting to address this problem in D.C. Now, when he has success changing this, I think you're going to see a wave of changes just like it in big blue cities across the country.
Four of the five seats we are adding are Hispanic majority seats that happen to vote Republican. Democrats are really upset about the fact is that their base voters, Hispanics and Democrats, are fleeing Democrats.
Woo! Governor Greg Abbott down in Texas not taking any prisoners over this whole idea of redistricting. He said this is the reason the Dems are mad. They're widening these lines out. There are more Hispanic voters, but the Hispanic voters are voting for the Republican candidates.
We're making it possible to actually command decisively in the military, which is how you close with and destroy your enemy. We lost track of the basics, Laura. And we're restoring the basics at the Defense Department, maybe soon to be the War Department.
Ooh, let the cat out of the bag there. That, of course, Pete Hegseth, Defense Secretary, maybe soon to be a War Department Secretary. Maybe that's what they'll call him if indeed that change takes place. I would be in full support of that, by the way. I want to get to this story about Francis Howe real quick. I was on vacation, I think, when this thing broke, because we really haven't had a chance to cover it yet here on the show. But so they got a guy named Mike Dominguez. Still had Pete Hegseth in my brain. Mike Dominguez, who was scheduled to start July 1st as the new superintendent of Francis Howe. And the Board of Education approved a separation agreement for him instead. So he had yet to work a single day. And they paid him 11 months of his salary and then signed a separation agreement that won't allow them to talk about it. So, Dan, I think you live in northern St. Charles County. You weren't directly affected by this, and neither was Kim. My tax dollars in the Francis Howe District went to pay this guy $229,000, and he never did a day's work for the school district.
Good gig if you can get it.
I have questions.
Let's get a contract and pay me.
Yeah, I have questions about this and questions that the current school board needs to answer. Number one, why would you sign an agreement that the public deserves answers on this? These are taxpayer dollars. Remember, the school district got in trouble for all the cost overruns on that high school out there, and there was no transparency into how that happened. And that led to basically an overthrow of that school board, and they got a new school board in, and then conservatives failed to show up in the last election, and the NEA managed to get its slate of candidates reelected. Now, so whatever's happened here is this guy's getting a payout. The reason that he didn't stay employed is still very murky, but it appears that a search firm helped locate him without doing their due diligence, because after he was hired and signed to a contract, some information became available to the board that led them to believe they no longer wanted to employ him. It had something to do with his work in the last district. Sources say something about some out-of-court settlements for sexual harassment claims, and that he didn't that they decided they no longer wanted to be associated with him. Well, lo and behold, they looked at the wording of the contract, which apparently no district attorney had read very well, and it said that once his start date had happened, which was July 1st, they owed him all the money.
How did that get overlooked? How did someone not catch that? And now, he's hired at a school district in Oklahoma, I think as an assistant superintendent. So
yeah.
They don't either care about those allegations or whatever's going on in court, or they didn't find him either.
Lots of questions. Where were the objections found to Mr. Dominguez? Were they simply insinuation? Were they true? If I was hiring somebody to pick up dog poop in my yard, I would Google them first.
Yeah.
How does a school district hire a superintendent without Googling them and doing a better background
check
on them than that? That you find out after the fact that you're sorry you hired them, then you're on the hook for their salary.
You just need his attorney's name because he needs to write your contracts in the future.
Yeah, really, we'd like that.
So that if, you know, you don't want to show up or something comes up and they don't like you anymore, you still get paid, Mark.
Oh, boy.
What a deal.
Well, a lot of people are now demanding accountability from this board. They need the board, the leader of the Board of Education out there, the board president now, Stephen Blair, is going to have to come out and make a statement on this and explain to people how in the hell this happened. The public, the taxpayers, me, we deserve an explanation over all of this. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Wiggins America, Ryan Wiggins, on the woke Snow White movie he just watched.
This was my father's kingdom, a place of fairness. But the queen changed everything.
Take him away,
Your Majesty.
What did you say?
The people need some kindness.
You know, I really don't remember you being this opinionated.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
All right, we got Ryan Wiggins with us by phone this week. And Ryan, I guess you were probably captivated by Snow White as you were forced to watch it this weekend, right?
I was not captivated, but I was captured by my wife who wanted to watch this movie. I was going to avoid it for my entire life.
I would have.
I guess have you guys seen it?
I've seen like maybe 30 minutes of it, and then I stopped watching. It wasn't as bad. I was preparing myself for it to just be completely, you know, woke this, woke that. It wasn't as bad as I thought, but again, I didn't see enough to really make a full movie review. Sounds like
is
you did.
Is it because you couldn't, could you finish the movie? I got bored. Yeah. It really is about as bad as they say. I really open-minded approach this, thinking, well, my wife wants to watch it, and she's, you know, getting back into school mode. She's a teacher, so she's starting to grade, just want to have something on. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And a lot of times, I'll admit, too, that I will fall for, I think we all will fall for the PR game that some of these movies play. Like, when Superman was getting ready to come out, I think they deliberately said, you know what, let's compare it to Ice for absolutely no reason, just to get people talking about it, because that happens, you know, and then everybody's talking about Superman, and then you go watch it, and you're like, this isn't a woke movie, you know, it was fine, but Snow White really was as bad as everybody says, I thought, and not just because it was the woke stuff, but because the movie was just awful.
what was the woke stuff you saw primarily?
Well, here's the key test for me is when my wife wanted to watch the movie, I did not. And she turns it on and she's like, why did they make the dwarves into non-people? Like, they spent all this money making them look as fake as possible when you could have had actual dwarves, little people playing real roles. And she was coming at this with no conservative talking points. She came to that conclusion watching it by herself. And I'm like, yeah.
Now, wait.
You just hit. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought they were bringing in the Freeburg Mighty Midgets for that role. They didn't?
They did not. And Brad Range from the Annie Fry Show is one of them. And I asked him if he recognized anybody.
But don't you remember what they did initially? They got a lot of pushback, and rightfully so, where they actually did have one. See, I never know. Can you say dwarf?
Can you
say midget? I don't know. Whatever you want to call them. They had like one. And then they had regular-sized people, and it looked so dumb. What's the point of that?
I mean, the whole thing was just a complete swing and miss. They've trapped themselves in their own ideology such that they had no way out to even make that movie. You have to just say, look, we're not going to play by modern rules. We're going to make Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. But they won't do it. They have to capitulate. They have to pander to everybody they've ever spoke to in the past, you know, about these new rules that we all have to follow. And it's just a complete miss, and everybody knows it. Nobody watched the movie and liked it.
I would not watch it just out of principle because of woke Hollywood having to decide that you're going to take a movie made out of a person whose skin is white as snow, hence the name Snow White, and put somebody who's not in the lead role just because you can.
Yeah, and just because they feel like they're supposed to. Like, it's a morality question for
She's
them,
probably a fine actress, but I just don't understand that.
But what bothered people, too, is what Rachel Zegler was saying prior to the movie coming out. She ruined it for a lot of people, and that was why they had to delay it. In fact, wasn't it supposed to go to theaters, and they decided to pull it back and wait, and then that was why they ended up releasing it on one of the streaming services? Maybe I'm getting that mixed up.
No, that's exactly what happened.
I was going to say, she ruined it for a lot of people.
So what is missed in this is that it actually did come out in theaters, but it was such a short run that it immediately left theaters.
Hey,
it was so bad.
Was that a midget joke?
No.
Short run? Shame on you, Ryan Wiggins.
Hey, but it did go to theaters. It just didn't make any money. It was immediately out of theaters.
Hey, Ryan, Dan Buck here. I want to know what the wife is going to do to pay you back for that great husband moment.
What does she have to watch?
Holy cow, she'd be paying me back for like 4 months.
You know what? I'll tell you the answer to that question. She's going to watch Star Trek Strange New World season 3.
Whoa. That's a lot longer than a Snow White movie.
Yeah, but it felt longer.
It's all about perspective,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think my wife wouldn't have any interest in watching that movie. I'd be pretty safe.
But your daughter might.
Yeah, Ginger might.
Yeah, my wife, my granddaughters might, but I ain't going. My wife doesn't control what I do, Ryan. Sorry.
I haven't told you the end of the story yet. I was saving it for the end of the segment because this is a whole story arc that we're going through here. So at the end, by about the middle of the movie, I was like, wow, I was trying to keep my mouth shut because she was just grating, you know, she was just having it on. And she looks at me and goes, this is terrible. And she turned it off. I didn't even have to. So we didn't even finish the movie.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Mm. So it wasn't as painful that you didn't have to stay the whole 2 hours.
That's exactly right. And she did mention what Mark said, that Rachel Zegler is a good actress, but she said she's a good stage actress. Mm. She is not great in movies. And she's got a fantastic voice, but she gets in her own way with all that PR junk that she did before this movie, and it really ruined it.
They ruined a lot of stuff where they're doing these remakes. In fact, I remember going to the Muni. This was a few years back, and I think it was Legally Blonde or something. I don't remember, but they switched up the ending. I know you guys are probably not big Legally Blonde fans unless your wives made you watch it. But they had her proposing to him or something at the end. And it was one of those things where it felt like, oh, there's a cultural shift. And so we have to be progressive in the way that we end this. And it just ruins it.
Yeah.
No, you're right about not being a Legally Blonde fan enough to know that fact.
I'll fill you in just in case. I know you're really itching to see it. So,
yeah.
Sorry to ruin it.
That's all right. Well, we appreciate the warning there because I would probably never have started down that path to what I'm with Dan. I would have found. I'm sorry, honey. You watch this. I'm going to go to bed.
I'm going to go play pickleball. Yeah.
Mark, it's a love story, though.
Well,
you like love stories.
It is a love story. You can make that. You can make that argument.
Just so you know, Dan, Mark takes, and you too, Ryan. He takes any gory movie where they're cutting each other's heads off and stabbing each other and guts are everywhere, and he's like, it's a love story. That's why you should watch it, Kim.
Isn't Tombstone a love story?
Oh, nice.
Don't lie.
No.
Come on, Wyatt Earp walks off at the end of the movie, and it's a story about his romance with this dance girl.
I know the movie, but I would never categorize it as a
come
romance.
Come on.
Truth right there.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Couldn't take your side on that
against
one.
Me over there. Hey, did you see Happy Gilmore 2?
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good.
How about you, Wiggins? Have you seen it?
I loved it. It was very nostalgic. The jokes were pretty good, actually. I liked it.
Yeah. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't as bad as like Caddyshack 2. Yeah. That totally jumped the shark, and you can't redo Caddyshack, but I thought it was a good remake. I mean, a good follow-up.
It was corny, but so was the original, and I loved the cameos that he had in it and the old references.
My fingers
I'll just
hurt.
Have to say.
Now you've told landscaping duty. So many good quotes from that movie.
Uncle John Daly. I just loved the fact that he had all of those golfers and everything in it, and I had to watch it. Because I was on a weekend trip out of town with my mother, who'd never seen the original. And she's 90 years old. She kept looking at me. She goes, please tell me you're not enjoying this. Somewhere, Mom, I'm still that 15-year-old boy, and I love it.
But you would be lost if you didn't know the first one. If you didn't watch the first one.
Yeah, I know.
So many of the jokes pertain back to the first one. So, yeah.
Very true.
I liked it.
Ryan Wiggins, thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Yeah, see you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Ryan Wiggins on the phone this morning. I guess it's back to school for a lot of kids right now. I think his wife went back to work today, but the kids aren't back in school yet till maybe later this week. So
a lot of parents breathing a sigh of relief right now. Maybe it's been a long summer. I know a lot of parents are really sad, but I think a lot of parents are like, all right.
Well, I know commuters are sad, too, because the traffic's going to pick up.
That's true. Yep. Forgot about that.
It's coming back this week for sure. All right. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore-chapped nipples.
Yeah, just a quick reminder there from Mr. Swanson about what's going on in the Francis House School District. We talked about that earlier.
That is one of my favorite drops of all time, Dan Buck. Can I just tell you that?
And I am still shocked that Francis House gets away with what they're getting away with out there with all their liberal board members. I'm like, where are the Republican voters out there in Western St. Charles County that allow... I mean, the woke crap that's going on and some of the families that I've spoken to going to that and things they're teaching, it's like, wow.
Why do the conservatives not show up to these smaller elections?
I don't get it. I don't know. And the NEA must have a death grip on the teachers out there and the different things to be able to force them to promote some of this, you know, DEI and woke and all of the, you know, transgender agenda type things that they're allowing and supporting out there.
Well, we've talked a lot about the fact that Nick Schroer, our friend Senator Schroer, tried to get these elections. He had a bill to move these elections to either August or November, where you'd get greater turnout just by the nature of the fact that more people vote in those elections. And the NEA owns the election when it's in a April timeframe, because the only people that show up are the ones that are paid to show up, and I mean that by they are the paid teachers who support the teachers union, who go out and show up at their workplaces in many cases to vote, which is where a lot of these polling places are. And it's just a built-in advantage that they're only going to fix that by moving it to a different time of the year, I'm afraid. I will point out here, because in all fairness, this Dominguez guy was hired by the previous board. So the selection committee brought this stuff to them. They had three candidates. They picked this one, and then the election happened and the board changed and the new board came in, and then the information surfaced about some questionable stuff in the guy's background, which is when they delayed his start date. But once he got past the 1st of July,
his contract had officially started. So when they chose to separate with him, they apparently owed him the money.
A full year.
Yeah,
it was
$229,000.
I think his contract
like 11 months or something.
His contract was, I think, for $250,000, so he got just shy of a year's long contract.
Well, like you said, Dan, it's good work if you can get it.
I want that guy's attorney negotiating my next contract. So if they part ways with you, you get a full year's pay. Not a bad gig.
I know. If you're just joining us, the other voice in the room there, my friend Dan Buck, who has been kind enough to agree, of course, for a small king's ransom to come in and fill in for Kim when she's on maternity leave.
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait. And obviously no rush to the baby. Come when you want to come, you know. But we're talking, what, maybe the 28th is a due date? But Mama always knows.
Yeah, I think I'll go early. I went early with my first. I went into labor naturally early. So I have a feeling that I'll go a little bit earlier.
Okay.
What did your doula say about that?
Do you know what? Did you know that that even existed before I started?
I did. I remember.
What is that, like a midwife?
I covered this separate. There's a midwife and a doula.
I covered this story years ago as a reporter at Channel 4 because there was a big debate. There was some regulation that they had to change at the state level to allow them to have. To be more active in these pregnancies, and there was a difference between like a doula and a midwife and other stuff. So I didn't know the doulas word.
Doulas don't deliver babies, but the doulas are there to basically help you with anything you need. Like it could be.
Are we at home during this?
So
are we?
You can have a doula and a midwife at home. You could have them in the hospital, but they are great because they'll help with, you know, I had an unmedicated birth with Easton and. Didn't have a doula, but I had my sisters and my mom and my husband, and they were helping, but I had back labor. So it was like constant pressure. And so she gets to do that now, and she's got all these techniques. And if baby shifts, they're amazing at different, hey, try moving this way, and that will help baby. And it's pretty fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. Wow. I've heard worth every penny.
I'm going to bring a video camera over and capture it all.
Well, they've encouraged me just to have the baby here.
Here in the studio? Let's go live.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
Just bring the tub in and do it. We'll do it right over here on the floor.
Just mute the cameras. Or mute the volume, I should say. The microphones.
Might be a little language involved.
Ooh, I don't think I said a single curse word.
Oh, really?
I didn't really scream.
So my wife grabs the doctor by the collar about halfway through, but with both hands, grabs him because she kept going, you're almost there. And it was annoying me when she kept saying, you're almost there. Yeah. Finally, my wife shoots out of the bed, grabs her by the collars and goes, take the damn baby.
Yeah, that's about where you're at when you're late
I'm sure you get there at some point.
Dan, we're looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
I cannot wait.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Brian Kilmeade coming up next here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned for that. Of course, we'll get to the Annie Fry Show and Mark Reardon to finish out your day. Keep it tuned right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.